But, my dear Sebastian, you can't seriously believe it all. So says the character Charles Ryder in Evelyn Waugh's celebrated Catholic novel, Brideshead Revisited. This Sebastian, who is raised a Catholic, is astonished that his friend does not share his scorn for the tradition of, as he says, Christmas and the star and the three kings and the ox and the ass. I imagine many of your children, had they spoken to you frankly over the Christmas celebrations, many of your children, now growing up, perhaps educated at great cost in some pricey Novus Ordo school, or maybe just cast to the fishes in the public pool, or even given a traditional education at home or at church, children who perhaps came to please you, or for nostalgia's sake, to the midnight mass, and wasn't it lovely, but awfully long. Many of your children, if they had one or two under their belt, would admit, for them, it's all a myth, a lovely story, but nothing more. Literary creations, that's what they teach students in schools and seminaries today. They wanted to make Jesus a god, you see, just as all of the other religions had at that time. That is what they teach at Notre Dame. I don't know how their football is doing, but I know that their theology brings a terrible blush for its blasphemy to the Blessed Mother, for whom that university is supposed to be named. I think you would be surprised to find amongst the guests at your own table, if you have a big party, a big family gathering, many who, although they religiously celebrate Christmas each year, don't really believe in it. They regard it as a benign kind of a fairy tale, a pleasant brew of ancient stories and charming art and warm music and, of course, hard consumerism, cash. And you throw in Santa and the celebrated quote, well, it's all about the children, and there you're complete. That's their Christmas. They wouldn't think of giving it up. But the faith, where do you start? Faith, that whole and entire submission of the intellect, directed by the will, to God, all true, the revealer, whereby we know these things to be true. But our friendly family modernist isn't having any of that with his gravy. Thank you very much. Perhaps then you need to start by giving him something, just something, to think about. The utterly reasonable grounds for our religion, the foundation of our faith, true science, worthy of the name and respectable, true science is all the time coming, just more slowly and in a roundabout way, to the same conclusion which a Catholic has already reached instantly, because truth is one and can't contradict itself. But it is contradicted. The child is contradicted by the trite, trendy themes of the modernists. Well, you might point out to them, first of all, that isn't this all getting a little tired by now? It's almost been 2 centuries that the modernists have been vending their wares to the unwary. Please don't be intimidated about getting into a religious discussion, even with your near and dear. But do spare a moment to whisper a little prayer, yes, pray sometimes before you speak. Pray for those who are fallen away. And remember that this child is set for the rise and for the fall of many. And it must be so. And each time he is contradicted, it is a sword through his sorrowful mother's heart. If you've got time, pray a Hail Mary. And then say, well, what about the star? Did you know that as early as 1603, remember that German astronomer Johannes Kepler? Why, he had that figured out, and then he told about that conjunction of Saturn and Jupiter in the year 7 BC when our Lord was most probably born. The star is hardly just stuff for glitter on a Christmas card. And in the 1990s, did you know the former director of the Austrian State Observatory, analyzing the ancient calendars of Egypt and Babylon and so forth, and all of the evidence of the sky and the earth, that he established that Jupiter stood still in July of that year 7 BC, which would have grabbed the attention of the Magoi, the astrologers, the Magi of the East, and that Jupiter then came together with Saturn later on towards the end of that same year and stood together in the western sky and would have been these two stars together visible above Bethlehem. But you could look it up. Always a good line to use. And with the Google, it's perfectly true. There's a lot more fascinating evidence out there about the star. And so many inscriptions and backup truths have been found for the census, which the modernists regularly deny ever occurred. And then the cave. It's the same cave that we venerate today. Even the slaughter of the holy innocents has its remarkable scientific and archaeological corroborations today. All of this points to the truth. One of the researchers and writers of all of this, his name is George Kennedy, wrote, "Ancient scholars sometimes meant what they said and, like parents, occasionally even knew what they were talking about." How about that? Now, what about the date for Christmas? When was the fullness of time come? Well, when I went for my Christmas haircut, I got talking to Bob the barber about what I would preach about for Christmas. And he was holding forth, Bob was. Of course, he's a fallen away Catholic, so he's got a prejudice there. He's become an evangelical Protestant. He was holding forth for October as the real date of our Lord's birth, something about food supplies and weather for the census. December the 25th, he dismissed. Don't you know that's a pagan feast, the winter solstice, what the Romans called the Natalis Solis Invicti, the birthday of the unconquered sun. Well, there's nothing wrong with the church taking a pagan feast and Christianizing it. That was part of her policy and proved very successful. But the truth of the matter is this. The business about December 25th being a pagan feast taken over by the Catholic Church is urban legend. As they say, it's a historical myth. Actually, what happened is that as paganism started to wane in the Roman Empire, the Emperor Aurelian in the year 274 put a pagan feast day on the Christian day. There's a lot of that going around. The date which had already long been kept as our Lord's birthday, because he was born on that day. He did it in order to provide a pagan alternative to the Roman Catholic observance of our Lord's birth, just as the Puritans did with Thanksgiving, and just as the Presbyterian Scots still do with their New Year's Eve celebration. The communists did the same thing. So let it be said, the Christians were not imitating the pagans were imitating the Christians. The ancient tradition of our church, so ancient, is that our blessed Savior began his life in the womb of Mary Immaculate, the Annunciation, on the 25th of March, that our blessed Lord died on that same date, the 25th of March. And that, counting 9 months from then, our Lord was then born on the 25th of December. And there you have it. And that is the truth. All of these doubts, of course, and here we return to the sword which pierces our sorrowful mother's heart and many a mother's heart here below, I should think, to hear her children doubt these truths. Doubts about the date or the detail of the birth of our Lord hide a greater doubt, the doubt of his divinity, the reality of revelation, the supernatural plan and destiny for each of us. This doubt, this denial, casts its shadow over Bethlehem. He came unto his own, says St. John, the last gospel, and his own received him not. This darkness only grows stronger until it swallows up a whole 3 hours of Jerusalem's afternoon sky on Good Friday. His own crucify him, the people that is not his own, as Daniel the prophet says, the light of the world, they, the people not his own, have been trying to turn off that light ever since. The greatest light which shines on all of these beautiful truths of Christmas, the star, the stable, the ox, the ass, the Magi, and the Virgin Mother. The greatest light glows from within, the light of faith, pure supernatural faith, a gift of God, the greatest gift, because without it, it would not be possible to go to heaven, and hell would then be a given. This light grows dim today, doesn't it? Just where you'd least expect it. In our children and in our cousins and in all the rest. Make reparation. Have you ever done that? Have you ever said a rosary for each one of them who have fallen away from the faith? Make reparation, but more than that, remember that this contradicted child is the light that enlightens the Gentiles. That's us. When you see your own turn their back on the light, the words of the Welsh poet come to mind, to not go gentle into that good night. Rage, rage against the dying of the light. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.